Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I'd like to say good morning to everyone, and it's good to be back today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We're located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. That's 1 mile up Bairds Creek Road. And this broadcast is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. As Noah's in here this morning. Good Noah morning. How are you?
I'm good.
I said that a little backwards, didn't I? I've sort of been thrown for a loop. Rick, I totally forgot. Are you here because it's Rick Cornejo just joined us in the studio. That's why I'm getting my words mumbled and jumbled together, me and Noah both. But normally we always have Brother Rick Cornejo week before Memorial Day, and I totally forgot. It just slipped my mind, and so he came in right as the radio broadcast started, and I couldn't even see who that was behind me at first, and so now I see who it is. But we appreciate you coming down, and you want to just give us a rundown of some Memorial Day events? I totally did not prepare anything, so I'm going to ask if you've got any announcements or anything that you'd like to share with us this morning. No, is this mic hot?
Yes.
It's okay.
Well, as always, for Memorial Day, we have the flag raising at ASU. That's usually right around 7 or 7:30. We also have the Military Officers Association will be doing the Memorial Day service in the mall at, I believe, 10:30. And that, of course, will have the county band and guest speakers and a lot of recognition of different veterans organizations. So it's pretty much a typical Memorial Day service. So.
And that's Monday? All that's going to take place?
Well, it'll take place all Monday.
Right.
Actually, Memorial Day would be the 31st, but since we've changed our holidays,
right,
so that we have three-day weekends, we have it on the last Monday of the month of May.
So the 31st. I don't even have a calendar. Is that next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday would be the 29th.
Right.
So Thursday would be actually the 31st. But
okay.
To do the three-day holidays, we
right.
changed our... they tried to do the same thing with Veterans Day.
Right.
To make it a three-day weekend. But since that celebrates the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, they stay pretty firm on that.
Right. So we do want to remember Memorial Day, and that is coming up. And I had a few things I'd been looking at and studying about and some articles about different things, but I just didn't realize it was next Monday. Yeah, so I dropped the ball there. I apologize.
Well, to be quite honest, I had just tuned in on my way to pick up lunch for the folks at work, and it clicked, whoops. Today's that Tuesday.
Right. So. I have not even looked. But I'd been out of town on I went to preach in Oklahoma, and that just took a big hunk out of the month for me and sort of fast-forwarded and everything. Days went by. So let's do remember our veterans. Let's remember those who gave their lives in service to our country for Memorial Day, and there are always things going on and that you can participate in and be a part of, and so we want to invite you to do that and remember, you know, churches will be talking about it. Maybe people won't forget like
we did.
Like I did.
Well, we do also want to mention to our churches, especially that have the cemeteries that don't have a flag pole in the cemetery.
Right.
That for veterans that are in their cemetery, if they contact us with the American Legion, we can get them flags to put on those gravesides. If you already have a flag pole, you don't need to do that. But if you don't, then we have the flags that we can give to the church. They can keep to put in, you know, on Memorial Day and Veterans Day to those particular graves. Or if someone has a family cemetery that needs some flags, let us know. Either they can contact the American Legion number that's in the book and leave a message and we'll get back with them. Or they can contact me on my cell number, and that number is 336-977. 8722.
All right. If you are in need, your church, of flags for the cemetery for veterans in your cemetery, if you get in touch with the local American Legion, they can help you with that. And so
correct.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you stopping by this morning along those lines. I'm going to go ahead and deal with what I'd prepared, unless you've got something else to mention this morning or anything. I'll just go ahead and...
We're good.
Okay. Well, I appreciate Brother Rick stopping in, and the American Legion and all they do with the funerals, and they have a breakfast once a month. You can go
third
Saturday morning from 7 to 10, I believe it is. That was this past Saturday. And so there's a lot of ways to support the American Legion. They're always good to go out if a veteran has passed away and give a military funeral and be involved there. So we appreciate them. Brother Finley Hodges, he's the captain up there now, and so they're doing a good job, all those men, and we appreciate all
that. Don't forget your dad now, because he's big involved with
my dad. There's several in our church that is involved, so we appreciate the American Legion and all that they do. I wanted to mention those things, and I wanted to mention also this morning the camp meeting near the Cross Baptist camp meeting. This is being held in the field beside the Walmart over in Ashe County. In fact, well, it's really Walmart, there's Chevrolet dealership, and then that field called the Green Field. That's where it is. And tonight, of course, it started Sunday night, but tonight at 7 p.m., Brother Leonard Fletcher is going to be there. And this will be going on every night through Friday night. Tonight, the Edwards family is going to be there and be singing. And so I got to preach on Sunday night and really had a good time and enjoyed it. And you'd be blessed to go and be in the camp meeting over there. And I wanted to talk about the subject of progressivism. And this is what we started talking about last week. Sort of an introduction to the progressive movement in America. And this is a literal time period in the history of the United States, going all the way back to the late 1800s and early 1900s. And if you can understand what the progressive movement is, it'll really help you to see what is going on in America. And last week we played a clip, and the person featured on this clip was Hillary Clinton, and she's in the presidential debate. It was in July of 2008, and somebody asked her if she would consider herself a liberal. And Noah's going to play that clip again this morning. And I just want you to listen to what she says when she was asked if she would consider herself a liberal.
I prefer the word progressive, which has a real American meaning, going back to the progressive era at the beginning of the 20th century. I consider myself a modern progressive.
All right. We just wanted to play that. You notice there she said she made a historical reference going back to the beginning of the early 1900s is what she's talking about. And she said she considered herself a modern progressive. And I played that. I wanted you to hear that from somebody. This is not just something that we've made up. This is not something that we've labeled, but this is an actual time period. History books will talk about the beginning of the progressive movement, and it's very interesting. Last week, after the radio broadcast, the local news came on, and Bev Perdue was on there. She was talking about what she had said about North Carolina being like Mississippi now, and this was on last week, right after the broadcast, where I'd been talking about an introduction to the progressive movement, and the news came on. We did not plan this way, and she talked about, she's explaining what she had said. She said Mississippi is considered more conservative, and North Carolina is considered more progressive. And so we did not plan that, but I thought that was very interesting that came on right after the radio broadcast last week. Now, the word progressive is actually misleading. By itself, we would think, well, that's progress. Progressive, progressing, progression, going forward, moving forward. But in actuality, the doctrines of progressivism are not propelling us forward as a society, but we're actually moving backwards, not forward. Progressivism, if we were to give a little definition of that today, it is a belief that America needs to move beyond or get over the principles of the founders. That's the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. Their attitude is, well, that was good then. That was what we needed then, but now we are in need of something else. And so this is the idea behind the progressives, and this is how they can talk in flowery words about the Constitution, but it's always in the context that was for then, we need something else for now. And I've mentioned this a couple of times in the past few weeks, and this is a quote by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I've mentioned this, but I brought the actual quote with me today. She said this, she sits on the Supreme Court. This is one of the highest positions of power and influence in the United States of America. So I think what the Supreme Court justices have to say about the Constitution is probably important and relevant to our lives. Listen what she said. She said, "I would not look to the U.S. Constitution if I were drafting a constitution in the year 2012. She said, "Instead, I might look at the Constitution of South Africa." Now, this is from a person who took an oath, like all elected leaders do, and all who serve in the United States military and all of the different services as far as law enforcement, fire services. They take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. She has taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, but when it comes to her opinion about the Constitution, she said, "I wouldn't even look at the Constitution of the United States. I would look at the Constitution of South Africa." How in the world could a Supreme Court justice make such a, what I would call, an asinine statement? I mean, a statement like that, that's just ignorant. To say that they wouldn't even look at the United States Constitution. Well, how a person of that caliber can make that kind of statement is answered in that they are a progressive. They would say, once upon a time, the Constitution was good and fine and well, but now we need to move on to something else. How is it that the President of the United States of America, who was a law professor at Harvard and taught on the subject of the United States Constitution, I'm talking about Barack Hussein Obama, how can he come along then as the President? We would think that he would be all for the Constitution and upholding it and be all, you know, on board with it and everything, but he has done many things that are unconstitutional. He is authorized and involved in unconstitutional wars. Here we are at war in Afghanistan. Now, the Constitution says if we're going to go to war, that it needs to be declared by the Congress. Do you know the war in Afghanistan has never been declared by Congress? Do you know our military and our resources went to war in Libya, was not declared by the Congress? And so some people, they opposed this and they brought this up, but you know what? They went right ahead and done it anyway. How can the President of the United States pass unconstitutional laws? I've talked about the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows and makes a provision for military, the United States military, to come along, arrest United States citizens without a charge, without representation, with a detainment that is evidently unlimited, the SOPA, the restriction of the First Amendment rights, many, many things. How could the President appoint people to places of leadership without the approval of Congress. This took place last year during the Christmas break. I forget exactly who it was or the exact circumstances, but there was an uproar. I remember Mr. Obama, he made some appointments. They're supposed to be approved by Congress, and he said, we've got to do things without Congress. We've got to. And so what we see is a subverting or a going around the United States Constitution. How could the president have a view concerning homosexuality and them being married? And it's okay for him in 2008 to say that it is evolving, it's changing, it's not what it was once upon a time. But now that it's politically expedient, he comes out a couple of years later and he says, okay, you know, this is all right. I'm okay with this now. I wasn't all right with it a few years ago. I wasn't going to come out in favor with it a few years ago, but that's the word that he used. My views on this are evolving. How is it that our elected leaders can subvert and go around the Constitution of the United States? And I'm not just picking on Mr. Obama. Last week I said Mitt Romney, he's known to be a flip-flopper on any, just about any issue that there is out there. He was against gun rights. Now he's for gun rights. He's been for homosexual marriage. He put it in by himself when he was the governor up in Massachusetts. I did some study about that in the past few months, and he by himself. Now the legislature, the courts, they recommended that the state of Massachusetts do something. But the state of Massachusetts chose not to do anything, and it would have just died if nobody would have done anything. Well, Romney didn't do that. He went in and he told the magistrates to change the marriage license, and he told them if they didn't perform these homosexual marriages that they would be relieved, they would be fired from their job. So Romney, he's a flip-flopper. How can he be such a flip-flopper? Well, he's a progressive. Rick Santorum said he was a conservative progressive. So if you understand progressivism, you will understand that according to the way they think, nothing is absolute. Nothing is beyond changing if the environment, if they think, you know, well, this would be a good time to change this or change that, then they are willing to change anything. Everything is subject to evolve, to change. What is good today may be evil tomorrow. What's white today may be black tomorrow. What's sweet today may be bitter tomorrow. Do you know, if you're a Bible reader, you probably recognize that from Isaiah chapter 5 in verse number 20. The Bible says over there, and I read this last week, I believe this is a good definition for what progressivism is. You know, it's not something that is brand new. In fact, Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes that actually there's nothing new under the sun. What has been is now. And so there's really nothing new under the sun. But this idea of progressivism, it could be defined in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 5 in verse number 20. The Bible says over there, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And the children of Israel did that very thing. They came to a place in their society that they said, you know what, we're smarter than God is. We know more than God does. And so we're going to change all these laws. We don't want these laws before us. We don't want the name of God. We don't want the influence of the Lord anymore. And they literally, they changed their gods. And the Bible goes on. It says in verse number 21 of Isaiah chapter 5, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." That's the verse right after that verse about put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." There's a lot of people that think they know better than the Lord does. In fact, I'll make just a quick example before I go on. I have heard, I don't know how many people say this. I've seen, I don't know how many comments, letters to the editor about this marriage amendment being passed. And people that are for homosexual marriage, they will say, "Who are we? Who are we to say who can marry who and who can love who. Who are we to say that? You know, the only reason that I am for marriage between a man and a woman exclusively is because that is what the Word of God says. Now, if you go to change that, what you are saying is that, well, you'll be a God. You'll decide. You'll say what's right and what's wrong. So who are we to say, you know, let anything happen, let anything come. There's no absolutes in progressivism, and we have an epidemic of those that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They think that they know everything, and they think they're smarter than the Lord. There's a warning in the Bible concerning those who would consider themselves progressives and want to change the absolutes of the Word of God and the absolutes of society. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 21 says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." So we ought to be aware of those that come along and wanting to change and change and change. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" God says, don't meddle with, don't get intertwined with those that are wanting to change the laws and the times and the seasons and all of these things, because they're going to be destroyed. Their calamity shall rise suddenly. Now, the problem today is not that we have some progressives in the government. It is in our governments, federally, statewide, locally. It is in our universities being taught by the professors that are teaching young people. If you don't believe that there is a big difference between how most people look at things and what is being taught in our state universities, just look once again at this vote on the marriage amendment, and you'll find that out of the 100 counties in North Carolina, the very few counties that voted against this, I believe I'm right in saying this, all of them had a state college, Watauga County being one of them. What in the world are they teaching young people that they lose their mind when they go to school and forsake the way that they've been brought up and taught? Well, I'll tell you, progressivism. We have an epidemic of progressivism in the universities, in society, in churches. This influence is also felt in many churches that would call themselves Christian churches. What we are seeing today in America and why things are so upside down, we are seeing the full fruit of progressivism. And if you want to find the place where America's train wreck began and the eventual demise of America start to take place, you would go back and start to study the era of progressivism, the early 1900s. Progressivism was imported to this country from Europe, especially Germany, and it was brought in through our universities. That's why there's such a huge difference between those who have a public university education and those who do not. It's not that some are smarter than others. It's what they've been taught. It's what they've been taught and what they've accepted as the guide of their lives. I have a book. I didn't bring it with me today. I wrote the quote down, but it's a huge history book. It's called A Patriot's History of the United States by Schweiker and Allen. And it talks about from Columbus' great discovery all the way down to the War on Terror. So it's starting at the beginning, and it comes right up to the modern days. There's 932 pages in that book. There is a chapter in that book called War, Wilson, and Internationalism from 1912 to 1920. I've been reading and studying through the chapter in that book. It's just a history book. It's not a Christian history book. It's a patriot's history of the United States. So I've been reading that chapter in that book. There is on page 498 under the heading of Progressive Reformers. I found this. This is worth the price of the whole book. It said, most social gospelers. Now, it's talking about the progressive reformers, 1912 to 1920. Most social gospelers endorsed minimum wage and child labor laws, favored a redistribution of wealth, and generally embraced state regulation of business. He said, to do so usually involved significant revisions of the Bible, and many, though not all, social gospelers abandoned any claims about Scripture's literal accuracy. Instead, the social gospelers viewed the Bible as a moral guidebook, but no more than that. These modernists also abandoned theological dogmatism for greater tolerance of other faiths. And so what happened at the same time that progressivism began to get a foothold in this country is that you find also at that same time was the changing of the Bible. Once upon a time in America, there was no what version do you read out of. The King James Bible was the book in the home. It was the book in the school. It was the book at church. But what came along with progressivism, if our country is going to change, if we're going to get away from the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, we're going to have to, and I underlined in that book, to do so usually involves significant revisions of the Bible. Do you know what came along in 1881 from England? The Revised Version. And then in 1901 in America came the American Standard Version. Isn't that interesting that at the same time we would begin to reject the Constitution, we would also begin to reject the Word of God as the Word of God? Just an interesting side note. Do you know that the American Standard Version of 1901 went bankrupt within 20 years? It wasn't widely received. Well, the devil, he's got time. Seemingly a lot of time on his hands. He didn't give up with that. Wasn't many years after that the Revised Standard Version came along in 1952. And there you see once again a great change in our country take place. And since that time, there has been a flood of new versions come along. Now, probably about every 6 or 8 months, or especially right around Christmas, there'll be a new version of the Bible. One of the NIV has a new version. This is a genderless version, and I have a quote at home. One of the people that worked on it, he said this. He said, we got it right this time. Well, what's that mean? You didn't have it. They said they had it right before. I don't guess they had it right before. Well, I know they didn't have it right before, but they've come out with this genderless version. There's also a Muslim-friendly version now that takes out references to Son of God and, you know, anything that would offend a Muslim. And so we have in America a rejection of the Constitution, and we also have a rejection of the Bible as the Word of God. You know, it's just a good guideline. Judge not that you be not judged. Love one another. There's a few verses that everybody knows, especially liberals. And this was in today's newspaper, a letter to the editor. How else could you have somebody make a statement like this? She says, and as a point of information, she's talking about the marriage amendment. She said, I'm an old, straight, white woman who believes fervently in the teachings of Jesus Christ, as in love one another. Something else to think about. Since there's no evidence that Jesus ever had sex with a woman, how do we really know that he wasn't gay? And her name, for all who would like to know who this foolish woman is Patricia Reck from Winston-Salem. How could you say that you know anything about God and make such a dumb statement as that? So we see in America the rejection of the Bible as the Word of God and the rejection of our founding principles, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, which has a biblical base. Well, we thank you for listening. Noah's going to give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynne Greer of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.